Hit him with the intro.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Sutton. That's John. This is the Self-Care Disciples Podcast.
We put out episodes weekly. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, Google, and Amazon Podcasts, or whatever third-party podcast platform you like.
Anything you want. When you're there, try to give us a rating, review, download, anything you can to help appease the algorithm lords.
And yo, we will love you long time if you give us a 5-star review on Spotify and Apple, and make sure to turn on those automatic downloads.
Do it. All right, we're going to get into our merch update and check-in.
Let's do it.
And get into our topic. So hit me with your merch update and your check-in.
So merch update, I don't have much to update, but I am starting to brainstorm new concepts, new designs, new products, which is kind of fun. I just came up with a sticker pack of existing designs that I already have, you know, because people already love those designs. You do it too, I'm pretty sure.
Sticker packs are the best.
Yeah. So, and I have tons of Baphomet designs, so I'm just going to do a Baphomet sticker pack.
Fuck yeah, dude. That's sick.
And
hell yeah.
I said in the episode before that I was going to order the tapestries. Guess what?
Didn't do
your
it
boy
yet.
Is just so your boy is so reliable and consistent, he didn't order it.
Womp, womp, womp. That's okay.
But when I do order it, it's game over for everyone.
It's game over because they sell out every time. That's cool. Send me with your check-in.
Do you want to do your merch update first?
Sure. I took all my apparel off. Except for three t-shirts that I have a little bit of inventory left. That's all that's on my site right now, other than prints, tapestries, stickers, books, all kinds of other stuff, actually. But the apparel is slim to none right now because I'm going to completely relaunch. I'm going to do nothing but new designs. I'm going to keep it classic and just do some cool shit. I'm going to do some of my own stuff. I have a couple collabs that'll be out in the works. Mario Prego, Ulysse Blair, and Holly Dixon. So those will be three pretty sick collabs right off the bump.
Those are all
right
sick
off the jump
artists.
There. Yeah. So yeah, that's my merch update. Right now, there's new prints. You can always, if you want to know the merch update before the podcast comes out, just sub to my emails, hit the site, scroll all the way down if the pop-up doesn't get you. But the pop-up should get you. That's it. That's all I got.
Nice. I also just want to give a shout-out to the few people who listen who used the coupon code. You're not unseen. Yeah, I was really surprised to see a bunch of people use the code for my site. Which brings me to our sponsors, sponsored by Self Care Clothing, Self Care Tattoo, without the S,
and
Sleep Terror Clothing.
Ooh, don't forget Zen, Remarkable, Red Bull, Mike's Hard, Stanley's, and Tito's. Those are all real sponsors, not making that up. We totally are sponsored by those people.
Yo, you forgot about the hardest sponsor we have. Blue Chew.
Blue Chew. The hardest of them all.
If your dick isn't hard, we'll get it there.
All right, let's get into the check-ins.
All right, hit me with your check-in, fella.
Dude, honestly, I'm just flowing, you know? I'm just taking each day by day and just trying to look forward. You know,
feel that.
I'm just trying to stay consistent. You know, editing the podcast this week was really fun, and it made me look forward to putting myself on a schedule, because you and I both know I need to stick to a schedule now. I can't do this last minute anymore for the editing. So this Sunday, to hold myself accountable, you don't have to respond, but I'm going to text you and tell you that I am editing the podcast because I timed myself.
I'm going to text you a picture of my balls on your drum set.
That is fine. As long as it's not on my face. So, yeah, I actually timed out.
Away. My God. Sir.
Well, you know,
for a YouTube.
I can't let Diggy have all the girls.
I'm telling you right now. Oh, Diggy, son. I'm telling you right now, if you're not watching YouTube, you better, because his hair is, it's putting Johnny Bravo to shame, and it's putting every 007 back swoosh I've ever seen to shame, because his hair is not shaken or stirred. It's perfect.
The shit will not move. You know, there's like a crazy level storm going on. I can go out there and come right back in. It'd be exactly the same. Shit like a helmet.
If you put a top hat on and then took it off, your hair would look the same. The top hat would form to your hair.
That would be ideal. Honestly, they should make a hat like that.
I'm just kidding. Hit me with something that you're proud of and something that you did for self-care.
Something I'm proud of. You know what? I honestly thought I had something for it, but I really don't. You know, I'm proud of us for showing up each week.
We're here. We're doing it. That's something to be proud of.
Ooh, I'm proud that we both had good weekends in nature, and we can get into that later.
That's true.
So
yes,
I'm proud of us for doing that for ourselves, and self-care wise, this is my first drink this week, and
oh, that's good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saving them for special occasions. So, I've been hustling, bro. I think self-care wise, I've been doing a lot of mental self-care where I haven't had too many negative thoughts, and I'm just trying to keep myself in a positive mindset. And I've been really cooking with that, that whole, you know, if I'm just sitting there and I know I need to do something, I mentally tell myself, or like my internal monologue just says move, and John be moving. Like, he's like, we're going. So I've been doing that really consistently. And also just want to give a really special shout out because this made my week and day.
Oh shit. Damn, YouTube. Only
this
our YouTubers.
This came with the mic you sent me. Jackie sent me this in a really nice note.
Jackie made John a really incredible necklace. Jackie is a practicing witch, and she smudged this with sage, Palo Santo. She did all kinds of crazy cool stuff to it, and all the different stuff that's in it, there's like lavender and...
Yeah, here, let me... show it off.
Little different pieces of gemstone and little pieces of like moss. And like, dude, just it's fucking incredible. And she's actually going to be making these and selling these at Dad's store next to the tattoo shop. And possibly I may have talked her into making a website because she's been doing a lot of really sick stuff on Procreate too, making like some really badass art. So I was like, yeah, you could totally do that as a side gig. Just have some fun with it and make some extra bucks if you want. She's like, oh, maybe I will. So that's super cool, man. I love that the necklace came in. And I forgot that we sent it with the mic. So I was just as excited as you. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Fuck yeah.
No, it like fell out. And I was like, oh.
What is this?
And I'm not like big into necklaces. Like I want a gold chain, right? Like a Cuban link. But
yeah, everyone.
This is so much cooler. So, yeah, I love it so much.
Everyone that just heard me say that, that doesn't want a Cuban link, I think you're listening to the wrong podcast. I said it before and I say it again. You're playing whack-a-mole with the wrong guys. Got me all wrong. So, my check-in. Bro, I'm fucking tired. I know I talk about this and I bitch a lot about being tired, but God damn it, man. I'm tired. I am trying, and I have been a lot better about taken time off. So that's something I'm proud of that I've done for self-care and that something I'm proud of is yesterday I just took the day off. I didn't even go into work. I walked downstairs at some point. I didn't even go downstairs because I live above the tattoo shop. I didn't even go downstairs. It was great. I when we had art night too, so everybody after work came upstairs and we chilled and just like did some shit on Procreate and like smoked some weed and shit and watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine and just laughed. It was great.
That's Jackie awesome.
Did this cool ass teapot with mushrooms and florals, and Julie did like this crazy lady like pulling her skin down from her eyes, and her hair is like a trippy like 70s floral carpet.
Very cool.
Yeah, and Diggy was finishing up, or no, yeah, Diggy was starting a new Pokemon sheet. He's working on his sixth sheet, I think. He just finished one that's not released that is Gen 1 that has Blastoise on it. Now he's working on the Gen 1 with Charizard on it. And they're turning out super sick. I'm super stoked to see him doing that. He's actually, today was his last day at work before he goes to Florida. So he's going to be there for a week and a half with his in-laws and wife. So I'm excited for him to go down there. I'm going to miss him, of course. It'll be
so it's a vacation nice vacation?
Yeah, it's a vacation vacation. It'll be nice the first day or two. We'll be like, oh, it's quiet. Oh, okay, yeah.
Was he the loud one in the shop?
Well, no, not at all. He talks a lot. He just, you know, we all talk a lot. But he's like usually keeping the conversation going or like watching something on YouTube or drawing and like asking us, what do you think of this color or whatever. But we'll miss him like 2 days in. We'll be like, God damn it. Okay. Where the fuck is he? So yeah, that's my check-in. My last weekend was great. My little brother came in and since I just moved upstairs, I have like nothing up here because I work full time and all my furniture is like solid wood and I'm too weak to carry it up these fucking steps. So Saturday I've got people coming to carry my stuff up for me. And I'm trading a couple tattoos for that. My little brother came and, we went to a high pile and just walked around outside and hiked and went and saw a couple waterfalls that, I'd never taken him to that I've seen a few times that I just like take for granted around here. I never go and visit them. I need to like take them for granted literally and do that more often, but yeah, it was great, man. Just walking around outside. It was the first time in months that I didn't feel stressed and I wasn't worried about like time and I wasn't like, I don't know. I didn't have anything on my mind. And that's what it's like whenever my little brother's around. We do that for each other. We just kind of slow the world down to a stop. And we're like, okay, cool. We're just here and chilling. And I miss that. I hate living so far from him because there's not very many people that do that to me, for me. But whenever Bill's around, man, we're always just vibing, chilling, but we're getting shit done. It's not like we're just hanging out doing nothing. We're like still living life and doing it. I'm just not stressed out. I'm just like, okay. He's like the only part of my past, like the only friend that I've had that's a constant. He's been there like forever. Like as long as I can remember, Bill's been there. And when things were good and things were bad. So when things are good or bad now, when he's around, I feel good.
That's good.
Yeah, I
went out into nature. It's crazy like how much like nature has this like healing quality, you know, and it's always great when you're surrounded with the people who like make time stand still, like great company that makes like time completely stand still and all like your little distractions of being on the phone, like you don't have the urge to pull out your phone and stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's weird.
And it's,
yeah, it's weird.
It's such a weird feeling.
That happens. It's great though. Well, that brings us into our topic, I think. We're going to talk this week about perspective and living in your bubble and getting outside of your bubble. Because I feel like many of us take our lives so seriously that we need to slow down and realize it's not the end of the world if this, that, and the other doesn't happen right away. And the world's huge and we have a lot to worry about, but we don't need to let all the worries of the world get to us, because we play significant roles in our lives, but in the grand scheme of things, we are just another dot. You know, that Lotta Spute lyric I always use, endless dots, or what does he say? Endless dots, tiny dots on an endless timeline.
There are moments here, only yours and mine, tiny dots on an endless timeline. Tiny dots on an endless timeline.
I love that. Tiny dots on an endless timeline. That's just our us. We're little moments. We're little blips, each of us. And we make the impact that we make in our lives, but we need to chill the fuck out sometimes and realize that it's not that serious.
Yeah, the shit ain't that deep.
It's not. Like, sometimes I'm guilty of, you know, taking a customer's email way too seriously, taking it personally, yada, yada. I'm very guilty of that. I've talked about it on here before. You know, just last week, I sent out all those free tapestries and someone emailed me and they're like, hey, man, I only got the one tapestry I ordered, but I ordered two. And I'm like, yeah, I know. It's because it's one per person. But for like 2 days, I didn't email that guy.
Did you not get the memo?
Because I wanted to be like, hey, Dildo, did you read the description? Or like, blah, 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 fuck you. You got a free tapestry and you're complaining about it. Blah, 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 you know? But instead, I was just like, oh, yeah, I know. I only sent you one because it's one per person. He was like, oh, okay. That's it. But if I would have, like, with my instinct, he probably would have been like, well, fuck you too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, hey, whatever. No big deal.
No, with that example, though,
it's not that serious. It's just a fucking tapestry. It's not a big deal on either end. Think,
you know, like certain things almost embolden people or like give people that entitlement, because I don't think people are just like right off the bat factory setting that entitled. Amazon is the reason why people treat businesses that way, because.
Oh, you're 100% like, right. Because I think they can just get something for free by being a dick.
Yeah. And yeah, honestly, any type of like business logic goes out the window. So, for example, this happened literally this week. So I ordered some AC filters, like HVAC filters for my apartment. And since Celeste, my wife, was in Vermont, she was also getting stuff sent to Vermont. So whenever we ordered stuff, because we have a shared account, we had to make sure that we had the right address in. So yeah. I coincidentally ordered the HVAC when I was in Vermont, and for some reason it defaulted to the address in Vermont. So
weird.
Very weird. I think it was like a geolocation thing, because my phone recognized that I was in Vermont. So it didn't it didn't default to my home address. So come Wednesday, we get the alert saying that the package was an attempted delivery was made on the package, but it didn't come to us. And that's when Celeste checked the address, and it was actually at the hotel in Vermont. Yeah. I hit up Amazon to say, no, I hit up FedEx first, saying like, hey, you know, I want to catch this before you attempt the other another delivery. Let's get it rerouted to a new address. Thinking like chances of that are slim. They tell me to contact the shipper. Totally fine. So I reach out to Amazon and I tell them the situation. The guy who responded back to me just said, I take full responsibility. I'm like, you don't have to. It was my mistake. Like, it's a user error. Yeah. And I even said, like, if the shipper, you know, would prefer, I'm totally fine with paying the shipping because it was my mistake. Dude, they refunded me.
Dude,
yeah,
God.
They refunded me 100%. I'm like, wow, I feel so bad for the company who's using Amazon to do this now. Like, yeah, I win, but at like what cost to the this company selling the HVAC filter?
Fuck.
So
yeah, that's ridiculous.
But that type of like example, I'm sorry if that was a little long-winded, but that type of example, you know, I've received emails from customers like 30 minutes after their order asking me for tracking, you know, like they want to know like where it is every step of the way.
Like it's still on the shelf.
And it's insane.
It's right behind me. It's on the shelf right there.
Yeah. I haven't even looked at the order, my guy. I don't even know what you ordered. I'm sorry. Yeah, you know, I'm one person. Like, and the worst part is that certain small businesses try to almost emulate that Amazon mindset where the customer is never wrong.
Yeah. They're always
right. But I think sometimes you have to put them in their place that like, if you put down a wrong address, that's not on me. You are going to be paying for shipping. You know, that's why all of us have like crazy FAQs and terms and services now, like especially mine. Yep. You and I had this conversation about returns. You don't do any returns. And
well,
I
do now, but let's not talk about that.
Okay.
I don't get any.
Yeah. But like returns are a really, really like tricky thing to deal with, you know, and the customer expects the world despite small businesses giving them all the information readily available, like size charts, you know, us telling them that, hey, these run small, run large, stuff like that. It's crazy. The amount of entitlement some people have. And I understand, you know, you want quality goods. I get it. But at least like treat the company as a human being.
And you want your money to be spent well and all this, and everyone expects too much. That's the thing. Like, here's the thing. If you are a general consumer, which if you're listening to this, chances are you're a general consumer. You're not rich. You're probably not super poor, but you probably feel poor, because I do, and I know John does, and we aren't poor, but we feel it because living is expensive, and the amount of money that we could be making versus what we are because of fucking Facebook and Instagram algorithms and all the other bullshit hoops that they make you jump through just to sell someone a goddamn t-shirt, just to put it in front of their face to even try to sell it to them, is absolutely ridiculous.
It's crazy.
If you don't play by their rules, you can't sell anything. You literally have to have... The only reason I have returns now is because in order to sell on Instagram and Facebook, you have to have a return policy that abides by their rules. And if you don't agree to their return policy rules, within they give you, you can do it within this time or this time, but it's there in between. You're not making anything up. They're telling you where you can do it, when you can do it, how you can do it, what you can fucking make at all times. So if you're listening to this, you're a general consumer and you are probably trying to get the most bang for your buck. Chances are you're not going to get the most bang for your buck if you really want what you want, you're not going to get the most bang for your buck. You're probably going to get something cheaper. And then you're not going to get good customer service. There's like a sign that someone has that says pick two. This is like good, fast, cheap. It's like, do you want fast and cheap? Or do you want cheap and fat? You know what I mean? Like, you want good and fast? Do you want fast and reliable? Or, well, I don't know what the fuck it ever was. There's a million variations I've seen of it, but like, pick two, motherfucker. Get over yourself.
And even, you know, it's the same thing with, you know, social media, right? Where people have this like weird entitlement as well. You know, like, and I'm with the whole creator and influencer, like being a profession now, sometimes it gets really, like, the dynamic is so strange when they reach out to brands for PR kits. You know, like,
oh my God, yeah.
I am so a human boring. Being, and you're asking me for gear, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to treat you with respect. Treat me with respect as well. Like, I don't know who the fuck you are.
Yeah.
And at this point, you reaching out to me gives me the advantage because you're asking something from me. So you should get off your high horse and maybe let's have a convo first. Let's build some rapport.
Pump the pot and chill the fuck out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've had so many fucking, oh man, thousands of messages over the years of people asking me for free shit and wanting to do collabs and yada yada. And some of my favorite ones, I'll give you like a top two right now. One was, I have her blocked on everything because I can't stand her. Her energy is just whack and it screams entitled. But she sent me something that was like, here are my YouTube stats. She didn't even introduce herself. She didn't say anything. It was like, here are my YouTube stats. This is what you need to know. I'm going to make your company money and I'm going to get you shit tons of views. Now, which items would you like me to pick? And here's my address. And I was just like, what the fuck? Sat in my requests for months before I deleted it. And I was like, fuck this. I'm not even going to respond. Like, I could not think of a response other than fuck you.
Oh, that's like a copy and paste. Like, I hate that.
Oh, it's ridiculous. So another one would be, someone messaging me saying, I'm who you need to work with because I'm about to blow up on YouTube. I have over 30,000 followers on TikTok and soon it'll be 500,000 across all platforms if I combine it. And I was like, first of all, like when people put on their Instagram or like whatever, and they're like if you're on Instagram and you got in your bio, it says like 1.2 on TikTok. You're like, fuck yeah. Off. No one cares, dude.
Dude,
fuck you. Yeah. I don't care about that flex. That's not a flex
it's
to
not
me.
A flex. That's not a flex.
Literally, you know what it is? When someone says, hey, I have 50K, I say, cool, bro. I hear you masking and trying to give me one of your accomplishments to feel good. You're trying to make yourself feel good by getting a reaction out of me of like, wow. But I don't fucking care because guess what? I've done that and it doesn't change who you are as a person. It doesn't change anything about you. It just gives you a number that you can say. It changes nothing about your life. It's completely right. Useless. You can have 50,000, million thousand, a trillion billion. It doesn't matter. Eat a dick. You're the same. You're going to die in a hole. We're all going to be put in a hole or burned in an urn.
That's for sure. And another thing's for sure, they ain't ever going to get some self-care promo ever.
Nah, not with that mindset.
Yeah, it's very strange. Like, you know, I appreciate the stats sometimes. And I understand, you know, when in that type of transactional kind of agreement, like, yeah, they're important. But and once upon a time, in the very beginning of influencer marketing, it was very, very important. But now I'm just more concerned of like working with cool creators who make cool content that I'm already a fan of. And it always means even more when I've followed a creator genuinely because I like their content and not because I'm thinking, ooh, I want to work with them, you know? And
exactly. And
then we build up like a mutual thing where, you know, it starts off with like, we like each other's posts. And then next thing you commenting and then you start a dialogue and you build like a very shallow, loose kind of rapport.
Exactly.
And then, you know, you go into the phase of messaging each other and talking about, you know, what's possible, what's not, and having some sort of compromise. And when I work with creators, I always tell them they have full creative freedom, to create whatever type of content they want with my gear. I'm totally fine with that. You know,
yeah.
Who am I to like, yeah, we're exchanging gear, my clothing and my products for exposure. Yes. But I want to make sure that both parties are having fun because social media is meant to be fun and not taking that seriously.
It should be fun. Exactly. I miss when social media was just like getting on to talk to your friends, and you would get on, talk to them, you'd get off and you'd watch TV or whatever, or do whatever you were doing that night, you know, go play guitar or whatever. I don't know. I miss when you got on AOL Instant Messenger to shoot the shit, checked your MySpace notifications for the day, and that was it. And if anyone remembers that, those were the good old days of the internet. You went on to YouTube to watch reels. You didn't get on Facebook to do everything.
Yeah.
To talk to your friends, to check your notifications, to watch a bunch of funny videos, and then get the news and a bunch of conspiracy theories and someone's Aunt Barbara's fungus toe. And it's just disgusting and useless now.
Speaking of that bubble, that what was the title of our episode?
Perspective.
That you said? Perspective, right. I think Facebook is is the catalyst. Because do you remember when Facebook, when you had like a Facebook status, it's like, what's on your mind? Like, no one gives a shit. But for some reason, we all did it too. We all did like, I'm going out drinking, gonna pound like 400 beers and zero chicks.
Oh my God, all of us, zero chicks? But hit on 20,
I don't talk to girls, don't touch me. You know, and dude, they're so cringy when Facebook, you know, gives me something from my timeline or something like that. I'm like, thank you,
oh my God,
Father Time, for humbling me.
Yeah, and no, we all need that little slice every once in a while. I get those, I think, and it'll pop up like 11 years ago, and you're like, oh, fuck, what did I say?
Yeah. Dude, yeah, social media is honestly, like, it's, I think it's great. I do think social media is great, but it's just going too hard now. And the tactics of the algorithm is so ass backwards. And like, for creators, right? For creators and brands specifically, they are throttling branded posts, like anything that has to do with product. And they're doing this, and this is my theory. Okay, I haven't found any substantial evidence that proves this, but this is my theory from looking at other people's accounts. I'll point out Murder Apparel, I'll point out Born Dead, myself, and there are plenty of other examples. But if you post a picture of a T-shirt with a great caption, something that's engaging, and it doesn't do well, and you have like 20,000 followers, right? And then you post something like a satirical reel or some sort of skit.
And you get,
well,
a million views.
Right, but it has nothing to do with your brand. I strongly believe that Facebook does this because it's trying to push the entertainment factor of social media.
Oh, 100%.
That's all it is. That it's only looking for quote-unquote quality, right? But their definition of quality content.
No, I agree. Really not because, fair. Look, I'll get on my phone and show you right now a perfect fucking example of this, okay? My self-care clothing's Instagram, okay? We have 54,800 followers. The last product that I posted was 6 days ago. Mm-hmm. It's got 28 likes, all right?
Yep. Sounds familiar.
A reel that I posted that has nothing to do with my brand, that, well, it's not nothing. A reel that I posted that's just something funny about tattooing 2 weeks ago, 2.9 million views, 4,532 shares, 183 comments, 27,000 likes. And it's not even that funny. It's really not. And I think that's why it did well, because it's my caption said, this is hilarious, but it's not that funny.
Yeah.
And so it just made people be like, no, it's not. And so like a bunch of people was being dildos and like commenting on there, like, this isn't even funny. And then somehow people always bring up like Hitler and swastikas or like racism somehow, some way. It's always brought up. And then everyone comes in and they're all like, what the fuck?
But the worst part is like Facebook loves it, right? Facebook loves the Discord. Facebook
loves that shit. Oh my God, it does.
But here's my example, right? So I posted this, you know, of the tapestry, 35 likes.
35 people. Whoop-de-fuck.
I posted a picture of this tattoo, you know, just to show love to, you know, tattoo artists and stuff like that. This one was like hours before. This Beetlejuice one,
720. Yeah.
I have one that's like 10,000 something likes on a tattoo. But that's the sad part, is that I got more likes than the tattoo artists, and I feel guilty for that. But
that's
I'm glad that's fucked up too.
Because
right.
That video got way more views on my page than it did the creator's page.
It's
fucked
up.
Ridiculous. They don't have nearly as many followers, which I get it, on this platform. Well, they do on TikTok, and on their TikTok, it got even less somehow. But their other stuff does really good on Instagram, so hopefully.
Dude, TikTok's another one that like I have not figured out how the algorithm works.
I don't get it. The only thing that ever worked for me was a couple of videos I've gotten lucky with. It's every time I put dad in a video, we go viral, pretty much.
He's a handsome, handsome man.
It's because the moment people see him, he's got the Kavorka.
Do you want to explain what that is for people who don't know what that is?
Ugh. If you don't know what the Kavorka is, then you don't know what the Kavorka is. It is just that thing that someone has. You can't describe it. You want
that sounds
it.
Like you're saying,
want to be
if
around
you don't know what Kavorka
it.
Is, you can't afford it.
You can't afford the fucking Kavorka. It's kind of like a ZJ, an HJ, or a double BJ.
If you don't know what a ZJ is, can't afford it.
That's true. Yeah, it's just that je ne sais quoi, you know? It's someone has. Did you say that right? No, I probably didn't.
I don't know. It sounded right to me, you know. It's like I always say, when in Rome.
You only yellow once. That's what the kids say.
You ever watch that movie, Dinner with Schmucks?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, such my favorite. Movie. Dude, I aspire to be, I was going to say Michael Scott. Steve Carell in that movie.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Well,
the
mean,
best thing
Michael
to say
Scott
to anyone annoying at the bar, the absolute best thing to do at a bar if someone's annoying you, you basically just become Steve Carell in that movie and just be like, you know, it's like what John Lennon said. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not.
What the fuck? You're stupid. All right, let's get back to our topic. So here's a situation where I've been so entrapped in my life that I needed like some perspective to get the fuck out of it. Okay. When I was a chef, okay, when I worked at Nemacolin, I was running an Italian restaurant. We had, I don't know, like 40 some employees in this restaurant, and 20 or so of those were in the kitchen. And I was in charge of all this shit. Me and this one other kid, you know, we're like in our fucking 20s running this $1 million kitchen, knowing what we're doing, but and being pretty good at it, but like it's high strung. The stakes are high. Like you're working for billionaires and they make everything so stressful that you're worried all day about what some millionaire thinks about their chicken parmesan. Like you're worried about that. And you go home and your wife's like, how was your day? And you're like, I can't even talk about it because it was so stressful. And then you think about like trying to explain it and it just sounds so silly explaining it. You're like,
it does.
Oh, I had to drive 10 miles to work, and then, which is nothing. And then I had to put on my really nice uniform and work in this really nice kitchen for really rich people and get paid a shit ton of money to do what I love to do, and I was stressed out all day over it. And then come home and I'm like trying to explain it. I'm like, I just sound silly. Oh, I went to the garden that we have there to pick all the vegetables that I wanted for the day. God damn it.
Yeah.
But that, in reality, like while you're there, you're like, fuck. Like, I only have 10 minutes to pick all this shit. I got to fucking trim all this basil. I got to like, I'm grabbing all this shit. And like, you're constantly stressed out because you have no time to do anything. You're in a group chat with 20 other head chefs running this resort, and you don't know if the car, you're driving all over the resort doing this too in your own personal vehicle, and you don't know if the car behind you is a guest or if it's like Ed Hardy, the guy who owns 84 Lumber. You know what I mean? Like, you don't fucking know. It could be some guy that owns the fucking Hard Rock Museum or some shit. Like, it could be the guy that owns Med Express driving behind me, and I flipped in the bird because I got pissed off at him, you know, driving slow, pulled around him or something.
Celeste and I, and this is advice for people in relationships right now, you know, because everyone, like, I can't imagine people who come home from like a long day at work, 8 to 10 hours at work, coming home like, I had a fantastic fucking day, my lady.
That shit rock.
Yeah. Like, and if you do, you need
take
to
a fucking show, but
yeah, you need to be on a watch list. Okay.
Yeah, no shit.
You are definitely hiding bodies because Celeste and I have this rule now, where we don't talk about our days. We just, the day's over. That's it. And then we turn off work mode and then we enjoy each other's company because there's no reason to like vent, have a vent session to make the other person anxious. And it's also worse for the person on the receiving end of this vent session because they don't understand it because they don't have that same perception.
They don't have the perspective. They can't see what you've seen and felt what you felt. They're never going to. And you're trying to convince them to feel that.
Exactly.
That's the shit
about
it. Trying to.
And the convincing part. Right. And I think the convincing part, like, And I've been on that side too, where I'm trying to convince my wife that my job is stressful.
It's so frustrating.
That's the humbling part where you have to realize, step back and realize this shit ain't that deep, bro. It's just another day.
Yep.
Just leave it alone. Tomorrow is going to be another one. What are you going to do? Vent every day and just have a constant cycle of just bitching about
your
job?
Life now.
Yeah.
No, that's what I try to think about to like. Like right now, my biggest worries are like bills. It's always bills, right? But in my life, I don't have that much to worry about. Like, I have a roof over my head now. I have my dogs. I have my businesses. I have my friends, my chosen family. We have the podcast. We've got the brand. We've got the tattoo shop. Like, there are so many things to be grateful for, and the little worries that come with all of that, like, it's not that serious, man. Like, me stressing out that the Labor of Love Japanese book isn't out yet, but I need to get it out because I have like a handful of pre-orders that are like almost a year in. Fuck it. They'll get that book. I'll make that book. It's going to happen. But right now it's not that serious. I may have printed a couple of fucking orders that I need to make a print for that I didn't ship yet that have been waiting for 2 days. And that stresses me out. But at the end of the day, it's like, okay, I'm just waiting for the paper to get here so I can print it. No big deal. It's not that serious. It's a print being mailed. It's not life or death. It's not me cutting someone open to do heart surgery or making a fucking jet engine shoot into space. It's not serious. My life isn't that serious, and I take it way more seriously than I need to. And I feel like I often like put myself on this high horse of like I have to make myself accountable to myself. And it's like I hold myself to such a high standard. I put my, I don't, I, you know what? I'm not on a high horse. I put myself on a pedestal And I'm like, you have to be this person. And then when I let myself down, I'm like, fuck. A huge part of perspective is expectations. So like, you perceive someone a certain way, you expect them to do things a certain way. And when they step outside of that, often it scares people. So like, for example, I come from a small town and shitty family who didn't believe in me. I did a couple of things with my life, kind of, not like big things, but like some things, and stepped outside of what they expected me to do. And they, instead of being like, oh, hell yeah, they were like, ah, oh, this isn't going to work. Well, why'd you do that? Well, that's stupid. I'd do it this way. I'd do it that way. I was like, ah, well, I don't care. Fuck off. I don't even talk to him anymore.
Well, if you were going to be able to do it that way, you would have done it, you know, yourself.
Why
you would have been doing what Sutton was doing.
Trying to tell me how you were going to do it. But you didn't do shit. You're living off disability. Fuck you.
There's some perspective and expectations. I have the same kind of like standards as well. And with that though, like I stress myself out like crazy about drawing, about product, like, oh my God, when's the next release? Blah, blah, blah. And I think like this may be a deep cut, right? But you know, growing up, I always wanted my mom and my dad to be proud of me, like verbally say that they were proud of me. And my mom tells me that, you know, she's proud of me. But, you know, for my dad, because I was also so young, like I didn't achieve shit for you to be proud of me yet. Right.
Yeah.
That's in my head. But now I'm in the mindset of like, John, I want to make myself proud. So
exactly.
If you want something, you need to like move.
You got to do it
and go in and get it. So, like, for example, when I don't get the podcast done, like, you can say that it's cool, you know, we're just two people, but, like, the disappointment that I have in myself because of poor time management is absurd.
Huge. Detrimental.
And, it's like a huge cloud over my head.
But we got to think, like, yeah, it'll fuck my whole day up, but it's like, okay, it's just fucking this one day of, like, thousands of days I'll have. But it feels so fucking end of the world in the moment, always.
It does.
It's hard to gain perspective in those moments.
And even with like when we talk about the editing and like potentially hiring someone, in the back of my mind too, I'm like, oh man, is that because I didn't do a good job or like I'm not like fulfilling
The drum kicks in, like I fucked this up.
Because that's how I do, because I'm like, oh man, it didn't release on Thursday. Oh, I didn't get to editing it until like Wednesday, you know? And that's, I think, also a big part of like the revenge bedtime procrastination is that like, I want to stay up so I can do other things, but I'm also tired. And I feel guilty sometimes when I fall asleep. I feel so guilty about falling asleep because I'm like, fuck, I said I was going to do this. And now I disappointed myself again.
That's how I feel too, man. Like I'll say, like, for example, when I left the shop today, I left at like 4:30. I got my appointment done early and I was just going to go home and draw. And I went home and I was so tired. But I literally went home, I let the dogs out, came back upstairs, and I fucking passed out. I went the fuck to sleep. I was tired of shit. And Doja was running around being crazy, and Future was playing with her, and they were being nuts. So I literally, like, put my headphones on and went to sleep. And, like, put these headphones on, not plugged into anything, just put a pillow over my head, went the fuck to sleep. Because I always end up taking a nap Thursdays before we record. It just happens to happen every time. My body just does it. So
me too, man. I did it today as well, and I woke up and I was like, fuck, because I wasn't intending on napping.
Oh my God, what time is it? Did I miss the time we record and all this shit? And it was like still daylight out. I'm like, oh cool, it's like fucking 7:30. Sick.
Yeah.
But no, I told myself I was going to go home and draw. And what did I do? I went to fucking sleep. And like, I am very close to being done a new print set of three new Japanese prints that are really sick that I'm really stoked to release. That people have been stoked on. I posted a little sneak peek of on my story. I'm actually going to be tattooing one of them on J Jackie's boyfriend, who in the last episode, I was so drunk, I called him Shane. His name is Sean. I'm such a dildo. But that's okay. He doesn't listen yet, hopefully. and if he does, God damn it. But anyway, yeah, we listened to that earlier and I was like, ah, fuck. She goes, his name is Sean. I was like, I know. I told you I had three Mike's hearts.
It's not as bad as the Sterling Fox. I don't even remember his actual name because I like Sterling Fox better.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's Archer Fox.
Yeah, Archer Fox.
Yeah, fuck that up too. But
dude, I was drunk too, but yeah, I was drunk on that last episode too, but I have this weird thing too about like my perception of being present, and I need to remember everything, like every little detail all the time. And if I don't remember something, I get stuck in a thought loop where I drive myself nuts about having to remember things.
I hate that. I just did it earlier when I have a brain fart. Like when I have a brain fart, instead of just moving on, it literally irks me inside. Like I see red until I figure it out. I'm like, okay, I got it now.
Do you ever like
freaks me out?
3 hours later, you have like a eureka moment, and at
you're
this
like,
point,
fuck! Oh damn it, yeah.
Oh, I meant fucking like in front of people.
Yeah, yeah.
And no, then you just like blurt it out. And at that point, no one even remembers. And that's how you realize it wasn't that serious to anyone else but you.
100%. Sometimes, dude, it'll even be like, there's been times where like I had the moment at work and then later at night with my significant other and I go, I was fucking Fresh Prince. And she's like, what? And I'm like, man, don't worry about it. Earlier, this thing, he wouldn't get it. It's not even important. I'm just an idiot. And like, that's how I would explain it away. They're just like, okay, whatever. He's fucking crazy, but I love him.
But back to, so we've been talking about like our experiences and I guess the more like self-aware version of like self-perception. Dude, yeah. I like really pity those people who don't have that type of realization.
Oh,
like you and I both have a mutual contact that has that. You remember Dennis Russian Dennis, the influencer?
Yes. He's
where it's
so
like you
annoying.
Don't send out his package, it's like life or death.
And he's just like, oh my god, I know. I have him blocked on everything actually.
So do I, because this dude started talking some crazy, so his stupid group chat, that's another thing about like perception. Like he thought that he was so big in this world that he created all these like group chats for other influencers and people to like do the group liking and stuff. I mean, honestly, like it was kind of stupid, but it was also nice because I got to meet so many cool people in these groups.
I thought
and
it was
most
whack,
of them,
man.
Well, that I saw it as an opportunity to meet people. And that's how I met Bo. And that's how I met Vince. Both of those guys are like regular influencers on my brand. And at this point, it's not even that weird, awkward thing where it's like, hey, man, do you want a model? I'm just like, yo, I got some cool shit. You want to check it out? I'm totally down to send it to you. Yeah. And like, I have no expectations if they're going to shoot it or not. It's just,
whatever.
I like what you guys do and you guys are cool. And we talk every day. Just homie exchange at that point.
Well, that's good that came out of it. But no, that guy had no reality of the situation.
Bro, he managed the groups like the fucking Gestapo too. He was like, you need to make sure to like, save, and comment. I'm like, bro, isn't your country at war? Don't you have other things going on in the world right now?
I don't do shit.
He got mad at me for not sending out his stuff. And I had to explain to him, hey, right now the U.S. is not allowed to send anything to Russia because of what's going on in the world, what's going on with the war. And the U.S. right now and Russia, we ain't on good terms. It's not my fault.
Yeah.
And he was like, do you have another courier you can send it with? I'm like, no. Like, what do you want me to do here?
I'm not like, in a different country. He did the same thing to me and was like, what do you have, something against Russians? And I was like, no. He's like, you have something against Mother Russia, and I'll tell all of my comrades and all this shit. And I was like, you do that, buddy. Like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And then he was sending me videos of, or sending me pictures from other influencers that I work with. And he was like, this person is a Nazi. This person is a Nazi. I will expose them. And I was like, okay, you are crazy.
Yeah, he was, man. He started coming for Vince really hard because Vince called him out on, and sorry to the listeners that this sounds like it's like inside shit.
We're spilling TV, bro.
He was like calling Vince gay, and Vince took offense to that because like what is this, 2001? Gay is a derogatory term.
Yeah, who cares if he is?
He was just showing like some true colors of like being anti-gay. Yeah. And you know, that was his whole downfall because Vince posted the receipts. And he was like, yo, like group liking is dumb. And the guy who runs this thing is a homophobe. Let's all bounce. Yeah. And everyone bounced. Everyone was fuck this. This is stupid.
That's what's up. I didn't even realize that was a thing for the longest time. Until he added me to it. And I was like, oh, this makes sense. Well, all the same people comment on fucking everything. Like, yeah. What the hell? It was so dumb.
And even after that, even the fallout, he started like messaging like individual people from the group, begging them to come back. I'm like, dude, it's not that serious. It's a stupid group. The worst part about it is like, you're not making money off of it. Go get a fucking job. Life. Go outside, touch some fucking grass.
Maybe fuck your girlfriend or something.
His girlfriend is another story, bro.
Oh no, she's just a Photoshop nightmare. But anyways, we'll get out of this talking shit realm.
in the tattoo world too, it's the same deal where, like,
it is.
It's like people are in like such a hurry to get tattooed because like they want to be perceived a certain way, you know, and instead of just taking your time with it. And just having fun with
that's
it.
Like,
I fall into that constantly.
I just saw one of these influencer tattooer model girls post this thing earlier that was like, it was like replying to a comment. I was like, show us the tattoos on your back. And she's like, no, like backing up now. I'm like, why? I don't get it. Like, I didn't get it. And then I'm reading all the comments and they're like, it's because she has no tattoos on her back. She only has some for the front camera. Like she's only got some here so that they're seen because it's just for Instagram. That's why she has them. It's so that she can be a model on Instagram. And she's replying to him and she's like busted. Like she only has like, she doesn't have tattoos on the backs of her arms, on the backs of her legs, on her back, anything. It's just the
for
front.
Real?
And I was like, yes. And I'm like, God damn, that's just ridiculous.
Like not even like these areas or
no,
anything like that?
No, nothing. Just the front. That's it.
Damn. Imagine living your life in 2D like that.
Imagine living your life for Instagram. For it.
That's wild. I mean, yeah, I get like a couple like, you know, little moments where I feel myself getting sucked in, you know, and I think that's just part of the social media algorithm, like beast, like this dopamine factory. And I have to always tell myself like, yo, this shit ain't real life. And the worst part about it
from the online world, you won't stress about it.
Yeah. But I think it's getting worse though, because like now there are these trends on TikTok where people like the opening screen is like, social media is not real. Here's my confession about something that I'm insecure about. And it just like I appreciate the honesty, I do. And it is nice to see that people are having this moment where they're stepping back from social media and saying like, you know, I too know that social media is not real. But
yeah.
It's like, where do we go from here? And like, does it get worse? with like your personal perception of who you are and where you stand in this world?
I honestly only think that the internet can do good and bad. It can't do good without doing bad. So it's always going to improve things, but it's always going to fuck up the dynamic of human life. You know, like we expect things because of the internet. We react to why we do because of the internet. Everything is as fast as it is because of the internet.
Yeah.
Like it's completely controlled the outlook, I feel like, of mankind. We have an internet outlook where like we're out and about in the world and we're in real life walking around, but we feel like we're living online and we're just like our character walking around in this world, and we get out our phone and we're like, haha, boom, I took a picture of this place that I went, and we're just doing our day and we're going about, and we come back and we're eating our food and we're walking our dog and we're videotaping this and we're watching TV, and it's nothing. It's completely all pointless and doesn't matter at all.
It's stuff that makes us feel like we did something with our lives, I think.
I guess sharing that we made some tea, sharing that I walked my dog, you know, like this is all stuff that I do for myself to be like, to document, like, all right, yeah, I did this today. Like, but some people do it just to show other people that they're doing stuff. Like,
yeah, it's because they think that
it's just
weird. They're
important their enough to be
life. It matters, I guess. That didn't come off right. Your life does matter, but
your life matters, but not in the grand scheme of things. But
that people care what you're doing.
Yeah, that people give a fuck, and that people should give a fuck. Rather, I should not automatically care about what you're doing in your day unless you are someone of. You know, someone notable to me. If you're just some person on Instagram that I went to high school with 15 years ago and you're posting a picture of a croissant, I don't fucking care. Fuck off.
Yeah. I mean, there are people though where I am genuinely interested in their life. Do you remember this guy on MySpace named Big Chocolate? He used to play in this band called Disfigure the Goddess.
Big Chocolate. Man, that sounds familiar. Yes.
He used to have these nasty gutturals, and he started vlogging.
Yeah, he used to eat peanut butter while
he
did vocal.
Big bowl of cereal. Big bowl of cereal. And so he was like vlogging, and dude, I would tune in all the time. I don't know why. It was just so exciting to be a fly on the wall, like this voyeur like kind of like dynamic.
Well, that's the whole allure behind it, right? Like, people share it and people enjoy it because it is like a voyeuristic thing of being a part of someone's life without actually being there. That side of it's cool in a way, and that's why like some people, like fucking celebrities, you know, you can just be a celebrity and make a Facebook or make an Instagram, and the next day it's like 3.9 million followers. And then they're like, oh, let me hit you with a website where we printed 20,000 bullshit Gildan t-shirt, single print color. We're going to sell it for $95. And they're going to sell out overnight. But we forgot to tell you it was a pre-order. It's going to come in 9 months. But thanks for just giving me like $5 million overnight for this shitty t-shirt.
Yeah.
There's some perspective for you. If you're a celebrity and you haven't done that yet, just go fucking do that because you can. Just because you made it to where you're at, your platform will allow you to do that. But if you have a good manager, you've already done it.
That's true.
Yeah.
It only takes like one person that like succeeded, you know, like one person on YouTube who succeeded, you know, like Mr. Beast, one person on Twitch that succeeded for everyone to think that, for other people to try and emulate that, you know, and I guess, you know, if that's your business and that's like what you want to do as a profession, like fake it till you make it, I guess. And if that means like throwing out your fake follower stats and DMing brands for sponsorships. Kudos to you.
Yeah, more power to you, bud. But I'm usually going to let you sit in the message requests for a bit until I delete it just to not reply.
Yeah, come back. You know what? Come back when you've changed your attitude and maybe put your script through ChatGPT to sound like a human.
That's funny. But you know what? There's been two times where the person that messaged me, they had no followers. They didn't really align with my brand at all. And they were like, yo, my shit's going to be the shit. And I was like, okay, that's cool. Like, I'm good though. And I did reply. I was just like nonchalant about it. I was like, no, thanks. I'm good. And their shit did get blow up and does really well. One of which I can't really stand that person. And it's the person that I have blocked on everything. Cause they're just really annoying. But the other one, I love their content actually. And I wish I would have worked with them early on because now it's probably harder to work with them, but I really just don't do, a lot of like influencer stuff anymore. I don't really care much about it. I'm going to get back to it eventually, but right now I've been taking a hiatus for it for like a year. It's been great. Actually, it's way less stressful because I used to do 20 model collabs at a time. And that shit is fucking crazy. Get you like a year for the content, but it's stressful.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it's, you know, it does, expand the reach and the brand awareness. I took a break as well because it just wasn't fun anymore and it was really stressful, like following up. Nowadays, I just try and step back and after I send it, I just let them take their time to create it because I realize that if I constantly pester someone to make content, the content may not be that good, you know, because now they feel like they're being pressured to do something and they're doing it for free, essentially, right? Unless you are signed up to the Sleep Terror affiliate program and you will make a commission. Shameless plug.
Ooh.
Well, it's actually now 10 to 15% because it has been going really well. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, the most success that I've found with the affiliate program are people that I genuinely like their content. I will give her a shout out because I really do love her content a lot. I think she's a great person. Mariah Fang is her account. She's she streams on Twitch and she's just really funny. Like she did like an unboxing video and I didn't even ask for an unboxing video and it was a very pleasant surprise and she smelled it and she smelled my shirts and she said, they smell great. They don't have that weird fish smell. I'm like, oh, thank God. Oh. Thank fuck.
That's hilarious.
But I think she is a great content creator. And she also has a full-time job, too. And we bitch about our corporate jobs all the time. But, you know, she's someone who's like stay grounded. And you know, yeah, everyone wants to have reach because everyone wants to have validation in what they're doing. Sure. And it sucks that people who are creating quality content aren't getting the returns that people who do like stupid prank videos or put out fucking
the dumbest
shit news articles with typos or oh my God, the worst thing I hate is when people start talking about like something important and they mispronounce something just because they know that someone in the comments is going to correct them.
Yes.
Like someone said,
nuts.
There's one guy who like said sous vide. Haha. See, I know you were a chef. You know all about suing the V's.
I know who that bitch is.
And he was like, I forgot how he said it. He was like, the soy vez steak from
soy,
Costco.
The soy vide.
Yeah.
Soy vide.
So annoying.
Yeah, dude. There's a podcast that I listen to that's one of my favorites, and it's a couple, and the husband on it is an idiot. Complete.
I love it
idiot.
Already.
He just says the dumbest shit, and every time he mispronounces something like easy, and I'm just like, or he'll say something that makes no sense, and I just go, God damn it, why does their podcast do so well? And he's an idiot. And I'm like, oh, this makes sense. It's probably he does this shit to engage people, to get pissed off, comment, and be like, fuck you, this is wrong.
I can relate to that. So remember I told you about my last podcast, how I was like super out of pocket? And I, like, because people were talking about it on our Instagram, I felt like I needed to be this character. Like, I needed to be this kind of, like, I don't know, is he kind of dumb kind of guy? And I would just, like, it changed my personality, because I would actively get really, really drunk, like barely functional drunk, and try and read off my notes. That's how weird it was. Because with this music podcast, I would have to stay up past 12 o'clock in the morning on Friday night so I could digest all the music, because new music comes out every Friday. And I would write these super detailed notes because it's something that I truly love to do. And then I would dumb it down when the podcast would record Friday night. And because that's what I thought was entertaining, because that's what I thought how the public perceived me, and I fed into it, which okay. In hindsight was not the right thing to do.
Hey, it happens. if I haven't said it yet, let me just boil it all down to this. You are important, and your life should feel important. What you do in your life matters, and you matter. But you should not take it so seriously to where it stresses you out to the point to where you aren't enjoying yourself. Don't let the big things get to you, and realize that you are a small part of a very large world. So that your small stuff is extra small to the world, but don't let the small stuff of the world get to you too. You know what I mean? Like, just,
yeah,
all that.
You should feel as you are important, and what you are doing matters, but it, like, that it matters to you and nobody else. That if you were to live your life, live it like a documentary, but a documentary that you would want to watch, not for anyone else. Does that make sense, Sutton?
Yes. Yes. You should take it seriously, but for yourself.
But not too seriously. Not too seriously.
For yourself.
You know, because, like, in the spirit of April and April Fools, just remember life is a joke. And the punchline, it sucks.
Do you know what?
Punchline is you're dead.
You know what? I love being bipolar, because I get to, one day, I get to be like, you know what? Fuck April Fools. I'm sick of going online and seeing all these fucking companies post all their bullshit and try to trick us. And then the next day I'll be like, ah, that's cool. They're keeping the spirit alive. Yeah, it's fun. Oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. It's superpower. It's pretty good.
I was planning this like in January, but I realized it was just going to be a huge undertaking. But I was going to propose to you that we switch websites for a day for April Fools. But then when I looked into doing it, it was just going to be too much on the back end. So, like, if I were to go to self-care, it would show up as sleep terror, right?
That would be hilarious.
Still have your designs, and you go to mine, and it looks like your site, but it has my products.
Oh my God, that would be hard. We would both have to have all of our domain link stuff, like, merge. No. That would fuck everything up. That'd be hilarious, though.
So if you're wondering why some of the podcasts might have been delayed, or I spent last minute editing them, is because I was thinking about stupid stuff like that and trying to research. That's actually one of my topics that I wanted to talk to you about. All day, bro. All day.
I prefer vibrators, but whatever.
We could have dildo part 1 through 10.
I like the three parters, but whatever. Talking about putting this on Pornhub every time.
But one of my possible topics was, what are ideas or business plans that you had that kind of fell through before they even like took off?
You know? Yeah, that could be a topic for some time.
And like, sure. Why didn't it work out? Because we can save it for next time.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. And I want to say also that being bipolar definitely gives you multiple perspectives. And it kind of does keep me in check. So that is why it's a superpower. That's why I said that earlier, if anyone was wondering.
So now that you know that you are bipolar, does you, like your inner monologue like recognize it? Like,
oh yeah. You feel like guilty a lot.
You almost have, That was my next question. Like, you almost have like a filter. Like, it's almost like a next level has been unlocked in your subconscious. And
but you don't always catch yourself in time.
Right.
You don't. And then later, the you know, you've got like that angel on your shoulder and devil on your shoulder type thing, where it's like, you know, you're sitting there and you hear a little kid outside like just laugh, and the little devil goes, go fucking tell that kid to shut the fuck up and tell its parent to get him on a goddamn leash and fucking shut up, quit yelling. And the angel on your shoulder goes, that's cute, that little kid's having a good time and laughing and being a kid and just doing the damn thing, and their parent should be proud because their kid's happy. And
why do you have to say that now? You already like diagnosed me with ADHD. Now I'm thinking I'm maybe bipolar because I think the exact same thing.
Well, it's okay to like think those things. I'm just saying that like it doesn't necessarily mean you're bipolar just because you think those kind of things. It's like I can go weeks on one spectrum and then a day or two I'll be like, oh fuck, I've been on my shitty side for like the last fucking week. Or like
I call them my intrusive thoughts.
Well, yeah, you know? They are intrusive thoughts for normal people, but for me, I'll just act on them and I'll just do it, and that's the bipolar part.
That's the problem with me too. It's like I act on them, and sometimes, you know, I can't.
Just last week, I flipped out on fucker. I don't know if I talked about it on the last episode or not.
You did. And I guess you're just going to have to watch the YouTube episode to find out how funny you are about the guy who was honking his horn outside your shop.
Yeah, I did exactly what I was telling him not to do. That's exactly what I was talking about. Yep.
100%. Dude, that's that perception right there. And dude, I mean, granted, I've never driven a car before. No, that's not true. I've never driven a car legally before. Yeah. But I have never understood road rage. And this is coming from someone who has dealt with anger issues.
And I have road rage.
Like, I don't understand it. Because, like, I don't see how something that minuscule can drive someone to become so out of control. Maybe it's because I'm blessed with a non-vehicular road rage.
That's yes, you are
because I get upset
not having to be a driver.
Actually, the road is blessed that I have non-vehicular road rage. Because if you're walking in front of me and you are slowing your shit down in New York City, bro, I will flat tire you. I will deliberately go in front of you and walk right in front of you and slow down. I will brake check your ass when we're walking.
I love it when he's walking. Just the other day,
shoulder check you.
I wanted a flat tire this bitch so bad. I was walking to Walmart with Bill, and we're going to like, I don't know, get dog food or something. And these two old ladies are walking in front of me, just extremely slow. And you know, there's a left and there's a right lane, motherfuckers. So like the people on the left are coming towards me, and I'm in the right lane trying to walk behind these old birds. And then the left lane opens up. There's no one coming. So me and Bill are like, you know, we go around him real quick. and the whole time that we were behind him, he was like, just fucking flat tire, flat tire, flat tire, flat tire. You won't do it. You won't do it. I was like, I won't do it, dude, because I wear a 14 and she's like 70. If I flat tire her fucking whole heel is going to turn into powder and just crush into the goddamn ground. I'm sorry.
She's gonna be an amputee.
The Sasquatch steps on grandma's toes and they're going to crush. Like, that's it. Grandma's done. She's going to be hospitalized. We're going to need a cast. We ain't getting dog food. We're going to jail. I'm just going to walk around her.
You guys are going to be docked now.
Yeah. Well, anyways, hit us with the outro.
You can find us on all streaming platforms, notably Google, Apple, Spotify, Amazon Podcast. Most notably, though, and I will encourage you to go look at our pretty faces on YouTube.
We hope you guys go check us on YouTube. I hope you enjoyed listening. But if you didn't, I got one thing to say. Fuck you!
Bye.